Rod, good morning.
Hey, how are you, Sean?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Very well. Now, at this point, how much study has actually gone into wind turbines and this supposed infrasound that proponents claim disturbs people so much?
Look, I don't know what metric to give you other than a lot. In Australia and around the world, in places that have had them in a lot longer than we have, and also in more built-up areas, so Denmark, Holland, places like this. And it's really not bearing out so far that there's any real problem with infrasound and people's health, so directly biologically speaking. So this next round of studies is interesting, let's just say.
Well, actually, that is one thing that sort of occurred to me. We're not the only country that has wind turbines. There are a whole bunch of other nations that have them in much greater use than we do. Has this complaint gained much ground in these other countries?
I think there are some people who are a little bit concerned, but it seems to be quite large here for some reason. We like to stand out. You know, Australia's good at sports and, you know, good at a bunch of other things, including worrying about this sort of stuff. So, yeah, look, it's just not being borne out. So, to be fair, the National Health and Medical Research Council did a big sort of study that they put results out at the end of, the beginning of last year, saying, look, we don't think there's anything to worry about. However, a bit more work might be useful. That's paraphrasing wildly. And so this is essentially them wanting to fund a couple more studies is not out of line with that call. However, there are people also suggesting that, you know, there's political motivations for this, etc., because they are a government-funded body or taxpayer money, etc. It's always messy when these things hit the ground, always messy.
Well, another $3.3 million is being invested into these couple of studies. What is the reaction in the mainstream scientific community?
Mainstream scientific community, at least the many with whom I'm in contact or that I see, you know, writing and tweeting, etc., is, let's call it at least disappointment, if not outright anger, because, of course, there's a huge squabbling over where money should go for medical and scientific research, particularly public money. And the NHMRC, probably for people who apply for it, about 15% of them actually get the money they apply for. Most studies and most applications for projects don't get up, not because they're bad projects, because there's just not enough money. So a few million dollars is something that a lot of people would kind of take quite personally if they're trying to look at cancer or, you know, other more, what you'd probably consider to be more worthy pursuits in medical research.
Well, to me, the gold standard in pseudoscience is always going to be the anti-vaxxer movement. But wind turbine syndrome, where did this idea actually begin? Where did this first sprout from?
Look, I'm not sure where it actually began, but I have to say, from wherever it started, it certainly spread quite interestingly. And it seems to be, I love this quote, someone's referred to it or began referring to it as a language-borne syndrome. Suggesting that, you know, if areas who feel they're experiencing wind turbine syndrome are only really areas who've heard about it first. So you don't hear people suddenly coming up with this problem with wind turbines, etc., until they've heard someone else's objections first. This is generalised. I mean, that seems to be the way it runs. And the list of potential symptoms are vast. I don't know if you've spoken about them or looked into them, but they range from the downright frightening and gross to the, quite frankly, quite amusing. And look, it's fair to say, look, maybe there's something going on still. Maybe. It's, of course, possible. But it doesn't seem like it so far, based on the science that we've done.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but this push to probe into the supposed effects of wind turbines began during former Prime Minister Tony Abbott's run at the bat, and he seemed determined to bring down renewables by pretty much any and all means necessary. Is any amount of scientific proof ever going to convince opponents of wind turbines? Or are we again seeing an anti-vaxxer situation where it doesn't matter what the proof says, people are going to believe what they want to believe?
Look, I suspect the latter. I suspect for some people who certain theories of risk communication would call fanatics are not going to accept any evidence because that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for evidence that supports the position they already hold. And many of us do this in other realms, but in this instance it seems to be strongly the case, just like with the anti-vaxxers. And so I cannot imagine a world where there would be enough science to change their minds. I can't imagine it.
Does it come somewhat at odds with Turnbull's latest efforts to revive the renewables industry that that Abbott virtually gutted?
Yeah, it does, although it's not a big call from the Liberal Party per se. This is definitely being led by, you know, John Madigan and Nick Xenophon, David Lionhelm, people like that, Bob Day, Chris Back, people like this. So they're all very excited about it, but they don't necessarily represent mainstream government views. So does it run at odds with it? Sure, but is it them running at odds with themselves? Not necessarily.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, Rod, thank you very much. Do appreciate your insight into this one this morning.
Always happy to talk to you, Sean.